is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is so good to be with all of you, those who are joining us over live stream and those who are here in the sanctuary. I have had a chance to meet some folks who are visiting with us for the first time, and we hope that all of you feel welcomed and feel the Spirit of Christ moving among us this morning as we worship. I would ask those who are worshiping online to register through the link that's provided for you there. And for those of us in the sanctuary, if you would register with the registration pads that are at the end of each row, or if you'd rather, there's a QR code in the bulletin that you can scan and register on your phones. And that will give us a chance to know who's worshiping with us, and if you're visiting and are interested in finding a new spiritual home, a place to call home with other believers, we'd love for you to share your email address or mailing address and give us an opportunity to reach out to you. We are more and more coming to worship in person, and we would love for those of you who are church members to wear your name tag. When you join the church, you get a name tag, and that will help all of us refresh our memories and begin once again to get to know one another and welcome each other by name. If you've lost your name tag and need another one, just call the church office and we can get that for you. A couple of other announcements as we gather this morning. Our congregation has a group going to the Sounds baseball game on Tuesday night, and if you ordered tickets, they are available in Reed Hall just outside this door after the service and all throughout the morning. They'll also be available Monday and Tuesday at the front desk of the church. And finally, next Sunday during the Sunday School Hour, our Project Thrive team will be giving a presentation on some of the things we have learned, both about the demographics of our congregation and the demographics of our community. And as we look at that together, we will prayerfully consider of what does that mean for God's purpose for us in this moment of our life together as a congregation. So I hope you'll join us in the Fourth Story Theater or in your various Sunday School classrooms next Sunday during the Sunday School Hour. Will also be live streamed for those of you who will be worshiping and participating in Sunday morning activities through live stream. We're beginning a three-week series this morning that's all about Jesus being the bread of life. Our lectionary gospel readings all come from the sixth chapter of John, where Jesus feeds the multitudes with just a few loaves of bread and two fish. We can see the signs of abundance among us at the altar. So I would invite you to join in this sixth chapter of John. Let us journey through it together and ponder our God of blessing and abundance. With that in mind, let us continue our worship together.
Praise the Lord, Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord, our
provider. Praise the Lord, who hears the roar of hungry stomachs.
Praise the Lord, who expects his disciples to help us.
Who are the disciples of the Lord?
We who follow the risen Savior, we are the disciples of Christ.
When we are tired, when we are weak, when we don't know how or what to pray, the Holy Spirit comes before us and with us, forming prayers out of our wordless sighs. And God welcomes us with open arms, ready to receive us. So then, let us confess our sins together, that together we might experience God's Spirit at work in our midst. God of abundance, we confess we have not trusted you with all our needs. We have let fear dictate our actions, and upon hearing the cries of our neighbors, have held tightly to that which we have received. We have underestimated your concern for us, and in our fear of abandonment, we have looked for safety and security apart from you. Forgive us, loving God. Free us from the stronghold scarcity and fear have wrapped around our hearts. Maker of mountains, you are more than enough to satisfy our needs. Embolden us, your church, to convey the abundance of your kingdom, that all of creation may know of your everlasting love. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we are going to exchange cautious signs of reconciliation and love. We want to be mindful that not everyone in this room is vaccinated. So a friendly hello, a little wave, an elbow tap, and just a smile can convey a lot. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Scott and Ashley Darling bring their son to God before this community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Scott and Ashley, I ask you now, on behalf of the whole church, the important questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil power of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? My friends in the congregation, Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow, and when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's glory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your son?
Dax James Maddie Darling.
Dax James Maddie Darling, I baptize you in the name of God, your Creator, Christ, your Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, your advocate and comforter. Amen. And now, Dax, we're all going to lay a hand on you, including your parents and your sister and Pastor Brandon, and together all of us are going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Dax, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Now, Dax, we're going to invite you and your family to stand there right in front of the basket of bread. And just so you know, Dax had a birthday yesterday. He just turned one yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so we celebrate both his birthday and his baptism day, all in the same weekend. And now we have an opportunity to bless you and pray for you as a congregation.
Will the congregation please stand and face Dax James? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Dax James Maddie to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Dax James. And we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This is a lesson from John 6, verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to invite any children who are here to come forward if you would like, and those who are joining us online to get a little closer to your screens. I'm going to put these carpet squares down, and if you're here and want to come forward, you can pick one of these. The butterfly, alligator, raccoon. Not sure what that is. And a penguin. And I'm going to take the monkey. Come on up. And if you're with a sibling, you can sit a little closer to your sibling. You can share one of those circles. What a great group. And you can bring a parent if you want to. That'd be great. Okay. Well, to help us think about this Bible story we've just heard, here's a penguin over here, if you want to sit on the penguin or the unknown animal over there. Y'all got to help me with what that is.
I think that's a mouse.
A mouse. I think you're right. Thank you. It's a mouse. Poor mouse. I didn't recognize you. So to help us think about this Bible study we've just heard, I want us to imagine that we are Jesus' disciples, okay? We're Jesus' disciples, and Jesus is sitting right here, and he's about to teach us something. And then we see all of these people coming up the hill because they want to hear Jesus too. And we realize that it's lunchtime, and everybody must be hungry. And so Jesus says, "How are we going to feed all these people?" That's going to be really hard. This is a lot of people, and I bet they're really hungry. Well, in the story that we just heard in the Bible, there was one little boy who brought his lunch. One little sack of lunch. Do you think that would feed all of these people? No, it doesn't look like it, does it? But this little boy shared his lunch. And Jesus took his lunch and blessed it and started giving it out. And everybody got enough to eat, and there were even leftovers. It was this wonderful miracle. And I don't know if this boy had shared to start with, Jesus wouldn't have had any bread or fish to work with. That makes me think that it's really, really important for us to share. We have a whole lot, especially when we're little. But this was a little boy who just had a little lunch, and because he shared it, a lot of people got to eat. So that just reminds me that it's important to share, because God can use whatever we have to bless other people. Let's pray together. Gracious God, sometimes we think we're too small, or we don't have enough, or there's really not much we can do to help other people. Thank you for this little boy who shared his lunch. Help us to share what we have and trust that you can use it to help other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's so good to see you all. If you would take your little carpet circles and we'll just make a little stack right there in front of the altar rail, that'll help us. And here's the mouse, just so everybody else can see. Next week we'll feature the mouse. He'll get to be the star of the show. Thank you so much. Okay, you can return to your seats. I'm so glad to see you. Well, as many of you know, because I talked about it in my Monday meditation this week, I have spent the past week at a family reunion, a Methodist camp meeting that's been going on for 195 years. We go to church at least two times a day. It's three times a day if you wake up early for prayer meeting. And we eat, and we eat, and we eat, and we eat. And even though we've eaten three full meals, we eat after church at night, just a constant feasting and eating. So it's only fitting that on the Sunday I return home from camp meeting, I'm reading about a feast and all sorts of abundance and good food. As I mentioned in the announcements, we are going to be taking our time walking through this sixth chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus feeds the multitudes. This is the only miracle that appears in all four Gospels. And John particularly takes this story and makes it longer and uses it for Jesus to be able to teach about himself and how he is the bread of life. So we're going to explore this story together for the next 3 weeks and ponder the bread of life. We're going to be looking at three different themes taken from our communion liturgy. You may remember, if you've heard the communion liturgy, how we remember as we lift up the bread that Jesus took the bread and blessed it, and then he broke it, and then he gave it. So those are our three themes for this next 3 weeks. Today we're going to consider blessing, what it means to be blessed. So we heard the story, we just sort of recounted it with the children. Jesus is in the midst of his Galilean ministry. He has crowds and throngs of people following him at this point. And on this particular day, he goes over on the other side of the Sea of Galilee and goes up a mountain to teach his disciples. He's gathered there, he's probably preparing to give them some special instruction, but lo and behold, they look, and coming up the hill is a throng of thousands. And John says they're following Jesus because of the signs he has done for the sick. He is a healer, and these are people who are seeking healing. They want more of the presence of the healer, and so they come in throngs. And as Jesus sees them, the first thing he asks is, how are we going to care for these people? How are we going to feed these people? Now, John tells us Jesus knows already what he's going to do, but he uses this episode as an opportunity to teach his disciples, to test their faith in him. And so he turns to Philip. And this is one of the reasons I love John's gospel, is because there are other disciples besides Peter, James, and John who get speaking parts, and Philip is one of them. Jesus turns to Philip and says, how are we to buy food for all these people? And what does Philip do? Well, he gets out a calculator. Not really. Maybe it was an abacus. He just starts running the numbers. He starts thinking in terms of exchange and money and economics. And he says 6 months' wages would not be enough to give every person in the crowd even a little. Do you hear those numbers? 6 months' wages, everyone, just a little. He's calculating. It's not enough. It's not enough, Jesus. It's not enough. There's no way. Not enough. But then Andrew walks up, and he starts off like maybe with a little bit of hope, maybe he has a glimpse of what might be possible, because he says, well, there's this little boy who has a lunch. It's 5 loaves and 2 fish. But then he looks at the crowd and says, but what is that among so many? It's not enough, Andrew says. It's not enough, Jesus. There's no way. So I'm not sure they passed the test. So Jesus himself takes over the situation and says, make the people sit down. And here there's this beautiful sentence that seems sort of unnecessary, but I think paints a picture of abundance for us. It says, now there was a great deal of grass in the place. Just this image of lushness and green and soft grass for all of these people to be comfortable on. And I'm reminded of the 23rd Psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. This God of provision and hospitality invites all the people to have a seat at the table on the grass. And then Jesus takes this little lunch that I assume the little boy has given him, and he gives thanks for it. He gives thanks to God for this little bitty lunch of 5 little barley cakes and 2 little fish. And then he blesses it. He blesses the giving of this little lunch. And then he begins to distribute the bread and the fish. And we know what happened. It just keeps coming and growing, and everyone gets more than enough and is satisfied. And lo and behold, there are 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, John makes it very clear in the way he tells this story that this is not just a miracle about putting food in people's stomachs. This is a sign. In John's gospel, there are 7 signs. And this is a sign that points to the very nature of God. A sign that points beyond Jesus just being a healer. A sign that points to a God of abundance. A God whose will and desire is for all people to have enough. A God who has the power and the love to pour out blessing upon blessing upon blessing. A God who reveals that with God there is always more than enough. So we have this God of abundance, this God who is ready to bless us and to bless creation. And yet so often we are more like Peter, more like Philip, more like Andrew, and we dwell in scarcity. There's not enough. We look at all the needs in the world. We look at the things we're facing in our own lives. We look at all of the things out there and we think, that I don't have enough to deal with this. We don't have enough to address this problem. It's not enough. I don't have enough. There's not enough. We've seen it at work in very real ways in the recent past. Anybody remember the toilet paper run at the beginning of the pandemic? There's this idea, there's not enough toilet paper. So I went to the store and we bought off the shelves. I saw people leaving the store with, 8 stacks of toilet paper. The same thing happened with gas when the ransomware attacked one of the pipelines and we got word that there might be a little bit of a gas shortage in the southeast. And everybody ran out to get gas, and I saw someone not only filling their car but filling all of these jugs of gas. And people were saying, if everybody would just get what they needed, there would be enough. But because this is our tendency, there are places in our world, there are people in our world who do not get enough. But this story reveals to us that it is the heart of God, the will of God, the desire of God, that we would all have enough. Not just of material things, but of spiritual things. That there is enough grace, there is enough love, there is enough forgiveness, and then some for everybody. But sometimes we act like there's a limited supply, and so we have to decide who gets it and who doesn't, who's worthy of inclusion and who isn't, who's worthy of forgiveness and who isn't, who is loved and who isn't. And so we take control and try to parcel it out ourselves to make sure we get what we need. I don't know about you, but I am so much more like Philip and Andrew in this story. There's only one person in the story who seems to believe and trust in who Jesus is. And it's no wonder it's a child. He has this little lunch, 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish. And we don't really know how it transpired, but I imagine he overheard the disciples talking with Jesus and felt their anxiety. And somehow, through the generosity of his spirit and just trusting in who Jesus was, he offered his little lunch. He had the faith to believe that Jesus could do something with it, that Jesus could take this little bit and somehow feed 5,000 people. And he believed that if he gave his lunch up, I mean, he handed over his lunch to Jesus and let it go. Somehow he trusted that he would be fed too. So I wonder, for myself and for you, what is it that's out there that feels overwhelming to you? What is it that feels like a multitude of 5,000 people with all of their needs coming right at you? A trial that you think there is just no way you can get through it. I don't have enough in me to get through this. Maybe it's facing a regimen of chemotherapy or a diagnosis that's going to take a long time to walk through. Maybe it's a broken relationship or a family situation that you think is just too much for me to deal with, and there's no way, my own power, I can heal this relationship. Maybe it's thinking of all the needs in our community, and as we've seen our friends living in homelessness and the increasing number of people who are coming into the door of the church, and it's overwhelming sometimes, especially when they're in a mental health crisis. And we think, we don't have enough resources. We don't know how to. Maybe there's something in your life or something that we together are facing, and we're living in that place of scarcity. We just don't have enough to deal with it. But my family in Christ, Jesus the Christ is with us. Our God is a God of abundance. And if we can have faith that Jesus can do more with our little lunches than we could possibly imagine, maybe that will help us let go. So in the next few moments, I want to invite you, I'm going to give us just a few moments of silence together. I want to invite you, if you feel led, to hold out your hands in your lap and think about your own little lunch. Maybe there's something in your life that you're gripping hold of really tightly that you really want to control. It's the only thing you can control. And imagine letting that go, handing it over to Jesus, and allowing him to bless it and provide enough for you. Let us spend a few moments in silence together, and then I'll close us in prayer. O God of abundance and blessing and love and faithfulness and provision and mercy, there is so much in our lives that can overwhelm us. I don't know what each person in this time of worship is facing. I know some of the things we are facing together. It's easy for us to feel inadequate, but we don't have enough. To think we have to respond out of our own power alone. But, oh God, you are a God who provides us strength and courage and boldness and patience and love. Help us to let go of the tight grip we have on control. Forgive us our attitude of scarcity. Help us to hand over to you our little lunches and trust that you'll provide for us and you will bless us and use what we share to bless others beyond measure. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.
As a people who celebrate the abundance of God, I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join me as we affirm our faith, as found on page 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with a pastoral team to pray for throughout this week, if you are in the sanctuary, you may fill out one of the gray cards in the pew rack in front of you and place those in the offering boxes that are located in Reed Hall and also in the narthex. And if you are worshiping with us online, you may follow the link under Contact Us on our website, and that link for submitting prayer may also be in the chat. Today, our prayers of sympathy and remembrance are with Ralph Cadenhead and his family, who are mourning the death of his mother, Rachel Catherine Petillo Cadenhead, who passed away on June 23rd in Florence, Alabama, and services were held there for her on June 28th. And then also his father, William Cadenhead, died 3.5 weeks later on July 18th. 2021 in Florence, Alabama. So we pray for Ralph Cadenhead and his family in this time of great loss. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of abundant goodness and grace, in the story of the loaves and fishes, you surprise us again with your extravagant provision. We are so used to living under the false shadow of scarcity, we act as if there is only so much to go around. Whether it be physical resources or spiritual and emotional needs, We fear that there will not be enough for us and for others too. And so we pray that you would assure us of your care for us and for others and for the world. We pray that persons everywhere would know your sustaining presence. May your Holy Spirit attune us to the great gifts all around us and help us more adequately share and enjoy the many gifts that you have given us in this glorious creation. Spirit of love and life, your baskets overflow with never-ending signs of hope in a hurting world. We continue to be in desperate need of your hope this day. We pray for our world as we continue to struggle against a persistent virus that just won't yet release us from its grip. We pray for those who continue to be sick. We pray for those who face death. And we pray for people everywhere who continue to face fear or trepidation as we see new surges in this pandemic. We pray for our leaders as they make decisions about how to best guide us in these moments. May they be guided by your wisdom and compassion. We pray for those healthcare workers who continue to be on the front lines. May they demonstrate and channel your healing care. And we pray for one another that we might remember each other's well-being as we consider our own behaviors and choices amidst continued sickness and suffering. In our living and loving, may we also overflow with never-ending signs of hope. Christ Jesus, you are the bread of life that feeds our weary souls. Fill us with your comfort and peace this day. Be with those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. May they sense the fullness of your mercy and care. And we pray all of these things as we lift up other petitions that might be on our hearts and minds this morning. And now, as people who have hungry hearts that have been satisfied by the bread of life, we join our voices together in prayer as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or chat. And for those worshiping in person in the sanctuary this morning, there are offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary, and also to my left, your right, in Reed Hall, where you can leave your offerings following the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
invite you to be seated for a moment, and I invite our team that is going to Guatemala to rise and come join us up front. A word as they're walking down. It was March 2020, the last time we did this, and we prayed and commissioned missionaries that didn't get to go to Guatemala. And we prayed that whole week, should we go, should we not? And that country ended up shutting down all flights back out of Guatemala, so I'm very glad we didn't go in March of 2020. So this is a trip delayed, but a trip I'm so grateful that these folks here, people that live in Florida, people that attend Belmont United Methodist Church, will be coming on starting Saturday through August 8th, and we invite your prayers.
Members and friends of West End United Methodist Church and representatives of Belmont United Methodist Church, before us today stand either here in person or virtually online those who are ready for a particular assignment as volunteers in mission who wish to dedicate themselves to their task, which starts on July 31st. Now we as a congregation are to commission them and send them forth in the name of Christ and the church. So here are the names of the folks who are going, some of whom are here, some are online. Harvey, Hank, Michaela, Trey, Mary Frances, Caroline, Casey, and Stacy. We rejoice that you have resolved in your hearts to devote time, talents, and energy for 1 week with the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya. Your labors will take you to the people of Guatemala. They will also be on mission to you, as they likewise share their faith. You go as pilgrims to see where God is at work there and to join in God's work. Through word and deeds, you are to testify to the infinite love of God. Such a task confers a great privilege. It also places upon you a solemn responsibility. Will you earnestly seek to carry forward this ministry in the Spirit of Christ in cooperation with your fellow team members and leader, and with respect for national church officials and local hosts? You may say, I will, the Lord being my helper. Please kneel for prayer. Let us pray together for these friends. Almighty God, whose love for the whole family of humankind has been made known to us through Jesus, send your blessing upon these, your servants, soon to go forth to join you in mission with the people of Guatemala. Grant that they may be guided and strengthened for their task, that they may be open to new truths and insights from their hosts, and that they be given good health and traveling mercies, to the end that your name be glorified in all the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessings upon all of you. Thank you for going on our behalf.
Thank you.
We have sat down on the soft grass with Jesus himself. He has fed us until we are satisfied. May we go from this place to share what we have, to share God's grace with the world, not on our own power, but through the power and grace of Christ. And may that sharing give us peace as we go. Amen.